kills. Some time ago, when I was a very small boy, I used to go to a very small church. And there are a lot of other little small churches around where I went, lots and lots of little churches. And some of the churches were different than the others because of the customs that they carried. For instance, some churches, women never wore pants to church, ever. And in some other churches, women never wore pants at all. They always wore dresses, all the time. And it was taught from the pulpit that that's how women wore it to be. At our church, well, this lesson came about because when we were in Colorado, I made an offhand remark to some of the people that were with me on vacation that, surprisingly enough, the people in Colorado Springs and in Colorado, where I often went to church, had a problem with shorts. I wear shorts a lot. I wear them, you know, in the winter. I wear them all the time, still hot all the time. I don't wear them at services. At one of the services, I think my father would show up or my grandfather would show up here, and they'd grab me by the ear and they'd say, you know, you just can't do that. And that's just how it was. And that seemed right and reasonable to me. But I was surprised at the people I was with on vacation because they met the Christians in Colorado Springs and to find out that they did not care for people wearing shorts. In fact, sometimes, one time in the pulpit, I heard the preacher once talk about how he had gone to one of the members' house and he had to use the bathroom, and they said, use the bathroom in the bedroom, and he walked into the bedroom, and there on the bed was a pair of shorts. Scandalous. People gasped. And he didn't want to tell which one of the members it was, but one of the members here has a problem with shorts. And I thought that was pretty funny. I thought, wow, you know, they can't be serious. They're very serious. They're very serious. And so I talked to my dad about that once, and I said, you know, we say shorts are okay, but not at church, but shorts are okay. Other churches say women can wear dresses, you know, at church, but they don't have to wear them all the time. Other churches say women have to wear dresses all the time. You know, how can there be unity in the church when people are teaching different things? And so he told me about a lesson that he heard, which was not the lesson that you would have expected. One of these churches had a problem. The problem was the women were wearing their hair in this knot. And it's called a top knot. And the women know what that is. It's if you pull your hair up. I didn't know what it was, but I asked my wife. She told me, it's when you pull your hair up like this big knot. Well, apparently it was a problem because some of the women thought it was not correct. You have to have long hair, it has to be down, and you have your hair in a top knot is bad. And so they asked this preacher, would you preach a lesson about the top knot? And he said, no problem, I can do that. And so he did. He preached a lesson called Top Knot Come Down. And he got his scripture, because the scripture go with that. You know there is. And he got it from Matthew 24, verse 17. And Matthew 24, verse 17 says, let him which is on the house top not come down to take anything out of his house. And I thought, wow. You know, you could really work hard. That must have been a crazy lesson. And actually, my dad said, it wasn't as crazy as you think, because the point wasn't what you would expect. They brought the preacher in to talk about this top knot problem, and he's talked about the top knot problem in a way you would not expect. And so that's what I want to talk about tonight. I want to talk about a sign that you see. And we saw it a lot on vacation, and everybody here could quote the sign if I say the first two words. But it's a sign you see all over the place. No shirt, no shoes, no service. All right. What does that mean? Well, most times you see that at a restaurant, right? You go to a restaurant, and there's a sign, no shirt, no shoes, no service. It may say, by Board of Health, no shirt, no shoes, no service. You know, whatever it says. But anyway, it talks about no shirt, no shoes, no service. Okay. First of all, did you know that there are groups that are actively trying to get that sign removed? All the places, the restaurants you've ever heard of. And the reason they're doing that is because there is no ordinance on any book, anywhere, in any state, that says that is a law. I'm shocked. And so I looked and I looked and I looked online, and sure enough, what I find is all these people say, well, there ought to be one, and they refer to it, but no one can seem to find a number to it, and some places actually put up a number, by health ordinance number XYZ123, and even that was explained on some of the websites I found, that does not refer to what you think it does. And I was quite surprised by that. So there really, there's no health ordinance for that. However, it's really the business owners promoting good manners in catering to the comfort of patrons. It's good manners to wear shoes and shirts when you go eat. And I thought about that, and I agree. Most people do not question this, right? Because most people have at least, well, first of all, a grain of respect for other people, right? They have at least a little respect. People talk about rights all the time. Well, okay. So they talk about rights of others. Happy patrons. This is why business owners think this. I got this straight from a lot of business owners who are very defensive. Happy patrons means they are more likely to come back. They're more likely to spend. Hygiene rules make people feel cleaner, safer. You want them to feel safe. You want them to feel good about eating in your restaurant. There are laws about washing hands and handling food. They're very closely related. If you ever noticed, even the most despicable, dirty, floored restaurant in the world has that sign, probably for your own good, on the door. Don't come in here with no shirt and no shoes. Do you really want to eat dinner? This is a quote from a business owner. Do you really want to eat dinner sitting next to a sweaty, hairy gorilla? I thought, that sounds like something I would say. That's pretty good. But do you really want to put your feet in fungus and yuck left by others? I mean, I've gone places with my shoes on and I walk around going squishy, squishy, squishy. But do you really want to go a place like that? No, you don't. Okay. So what, Randy? What's the big deal? Well, people have been sued over this. How silly. But people have been sued over this. Courts have always taken side of the business, citing public knowledge of the good manner and private property rules. For instance, other examples, what do they call that when you have a judgment and you say it's just like this other judgment? Anyway, it's our lawyer friend would know, right?
President.
Yeah, precedent, that's it. President, the guy in the White House, no, precedent. Dress code, it's okay for me to have a dress code to say, suit and tie required here, or black tie or whatever. So they've had precedent laws. So they say, hey, you know, people have been sued, but they haven't yet lost. The bottom line to all this, maybe the customer is always right is the motto, but this right is completely left up to the business owner. After all, it's private property. If you want in, you must follow the rules. That sounds like heaven to me. If you want in, you must follow the rules. It doesn't matter what I think. I come to a restaurant and I say, I want to eat here. And they say, well, here's the rules. And the rules are very simple, easy, you know, shirt, shoes required, money would be nice. You know, and if I meet those expectations, they'll let me in. But if I refuse to meet the expectations, the business owner doesn't have to let me in. In fact, he won't. He'll say no. He'll call the police, someone will take me away. And God is like that. If you want to get into heaven, there are certain rules, right? And if you're going to follow the rules, then you can get in. You say, what does that have to do with the top knot? Well, I think it's an attitude problem. That's what it really comes down to. And that's what the preacher preached about in the story my dad told me, was that there are attitudes on both sides of the aisle that we should consider. The women who had the top knot, the women who did not. Those who insist that people wear shirts and shoes, and those who say, ooh, gross, that grosses me out. You know, here as a deacon, I've had people come to me and say, I have a problem with blah, because that person comes to church and wears no shoes. All right, and I said, did you talk to that other person? Yes, but it did no good. You're a deacon, do something. Well, talk to the others, right? That's my suggestion. But still, again, there's an attitude on one side, there's an attitude on the other. Here's a person who says, I have the right to wear no shoes, and here's a person who says, hey, I expect you to wear shoes and have good manners. The person may say, I don't like the way you raise your kids. Oh, yeah? Well, I have the right to raise them any way I want. You see, there's these attitudes, and they conflict, and they knock together. So let's talk about both sides of that. First of all, why do people rebel against things, for instance, no shirt, no shoes, no service? Why do people demand, when they know the rules, and the rules are reasonable to meet, why do they demand that you feed me anyway? Because you just have to. I'm not going to wear a shirt. What are you going to do about it? I'm not going to let you in. Oh, yeah, you have to. Why do people act that way? Well, first of all, I think it indicates, in a sense, that they have no true respect for others or themselves. And I looked at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verses 16 through 18, it talks about being, be of the same mind toward one another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. I know better than you. No, it doesn't say to be that way. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men. That sounds like that would apply to both sides. Right? If someone says, I have a problem with you because whatever, and this person says, oh yeah, I expect you to change, maybe they both should look at this passage carefully and consider, does that top knot really need to come down? Or why do you have that top knot up there? What are you causing? Are you causing strife? Maybe you shouldn't do that. If it's possible, as much as lies within you, live peacefully with all men. So have respect, true respect for one another. All right, some people also rebel against the rules because they say, you can't tell me what to do. I'm going to put this top knot up here, I'll show you. All right, well, let's talk about that attitude. That's a pretty harsh attitude. In Judges chapter 17 and verse 6, people had a similar attitude. In those days, there was no king in Israel, but every man did which was right in his own eyes. There you go. You can't tell me what to do. I'll do what's right, my granny. What happened to the people who did right in their own eyes? Nothing good happened to those people, right? They ended up getting in trouble, and they needed God to help them. All right? Proverbs 12 to 15 talks about those people. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkens to counsel is wise. Maybe if you have a problem because you want to wear this top knot because you can't tell me what to do, maybe you should listen to counsel. Maybe your friends are saying, listen, you don't need to make waves here. You know, there's no point to be proven. You're causing division. You don't need to do that, right? You know, what is it you're trying to accomplish? Maybe your friends are telling you that, right? And maybe you should listen to them. You should hearken to counsel. That sounds like good counsel to me. All right, and a classic example of someone who says, you can't tell me what to do. Jonah 1, verses 1 through 3. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And he went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. And so he paid the fare thereof, and he went down to it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. You can't tell me what to do, I'll run away. And a lot of times when people do things, like wear a top knot on their head, and we say, why are you doing that? Quit doing that. Right? And they say, hey, can you take me the way I am, or I'll go to some church down the road. Right? Well, if they're truly following after God, right, and if we are truly seeking after God, this is where they're going to find it. And running away is not going to help them. And Jonah has, as you know, a fish story to go along with that. Of why running away and rebelling against God just didn't work out. Okay, sometimes people think they just know a better way. Well, we can compromise on this. You know, I mean, I have a point to prove. I'm wearing this top knot on my head, or I'm going to come to church without a shirt. Well, I have a point to prove, and we can compromise. All right, and I just know a better way than your way. Your ways are old and they're boring and they're antique. Well, Leviticus 10, verses 1 through 3. And these may seem unfair examples because you say, well, these are scriptures. These are scriptures, right? There's obviously you're playing against God. No scripture says you can't have a top knot or not. And that may be true. But still, let's consider this. Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put the incense on it and offered to God a strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not to do. And there went out from the Lord a fire and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses and Aaron, you say, well, that's different, Randy. That's against what God exactly said. Well, let's read a little farther. Then Moses said to Aaron, this is it that the Lord spoke, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come near me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. All right? What is God saying there? I will be sanctified. You will treat me holy. You will treat me different. You will come before me in worship, whether that be here on Sunday morning, or whether that be in your lives, you will sanctify me, right? Or it's not acceptable. And not acceptable to them was their death, right? And God says, I will be glorified. So when you put that top knot on your head, right, are you glorifying God, or are you causing division? Are you showing that you have a sanctification of God, setting him separate, Or are you showing something about yourself? And that's really what I think. I think that applies very clearly. Even though you may say, well, the scripture says you can't have a top knot, or you have to wear a shirt, or you have to wear shoes. Maybe not, but the attitude, that's what it's all about. It's all about the attitude. All right, in Malachi, that makes that really clear, because in Malachi 1 through, or chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, it talks about God speaking to them, and God says, a son honors his father, and a servant honors his master. If I then be a father, where is my honor? You see, it's the same thinking. And if I be a master, where is my fear? Where is my respect? Why aren't you treating me like you should? That's what the Lord God says to you, O priest, that despise my name. But you say, where have we despised your name? Here's how they did it. You offer polluted bread upon my altar, and you say, how have we polluted this? In that you say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if you offer the blind for a sacrifice, isn't that evil? And if you offer the lame and the sick, isn't that evil? Offer it now to your governor. Will he be pleased with you or accept your person? Says the Lord of hosts. So, we're supposed to offer our best, right? In Malachi, he hammers on them here because they're not offering their best. They're offering the sick. They're offering the lame. They're going through the motions, but they're saying, hey, I'm here. And you might say that, I got a top knot on my head, but you know what? I'm here at church. But is that your best, or are you offering division? What is it you're bringing? Why is that top knot necessary, right? And what is your attitude about it? Okay? Maybe you're just playing ignorant, you don't know any better. Maybe you have a top knot up because you didn't know, right? And, okay, that's possible. I thought about that. I thought about Matthew 22, where it says, the king came in to see his guests, and there was a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said to the man, friend, how did you come in here not having a wedding garment? And he had nothing to say. Then said the king to his servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I'm willing to give this guy the benefit of the doubt. He just didn't know any better. But the result was the same. If you came before God unprepared, with wrong attitude, you got tossed out, and there was weeping and gnashing of teeth. So what about our church today? All right? I don't see any top knots, but I could be missing them. But what about our church today? What about people who come in, someone who may come in and say, I have the right to dress this way. I'm going to wear no shirt next week. I'm going to wear shorts. My dad will get me, but maybe Jeremy will do it. He'll come in and say, I'm going to wear shorts next week. Whatever he's going to do. And maybe some people have a problem with that. All right, what about our church today? Let's talk about it. He may say, or I may say, I have a right. Well, anytime anyone says they have a right, they often forget that they also have a responsibility. What is their responsibility? All right, you have a right. You have a right to a lot of things. You have a lot of liberty in the Lord. But you also have a responsibility. One of those responsibilities is to show honor to other, honor others. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 2 through 4, it says, fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded. Everyone should be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Wow, a familiar passage. We just talked about that a few minutes ago. But it still applies, right? We need to show not only honor to God, but we show honor to each other, right? And having respect for one another. We should respect the weaker brethren. Romans 14, verse 13 says, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man puts a stumbling block or an occasion to fall on his brother's way. Hey, you can't judge me because I have a top knot on my head. You have no business judging me. Well, what does it say? Let us not therefore judge one another anymore. Don't judge anybody. But judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Am I doing something that's causing a problem for somebody else? If I am, then I need to think about that. Because I should not be causing someone else to stumble, right, and lose focus on their salvation. All right, 1 Corinthians 8, verses 8 through 13 says, this is talking about the meat. But meat commandeth us not to God, for neither if we eat meat are we better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. This is meat offered to idols. But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. For if any man shall see thee, which has knowledge, set the meat of the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through your knowledge shall the weak brother perish, for whom Christ died. But when ye sin so against the brethren, and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. Therefore, if meat makes my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world stands, lest I make my brother to offend. Are you going out of your way to not cause problems for your brother? That's the attitude Jesus puts forward here. You say, well, I have a right to do this. Well, maybe you do have a right to do this, but you don't have the right to cause others consternation, to cause them to lose focus, to cause them to be offended. You don't have that right. We have to be careful of one another and love one another. Also, you have an influence. You have an influence and an example. And you need to maintain your influence and your good example. That's a responsibility of you. Matthew chapter 20, verses 21 through 22 says, wherefore by their fruits you shall know them. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is heaven. Acts 9, verse 36 says, now there was a Joppa, a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deed which she did. It doesn't say, oh, you know her. She's the lady who wore the top knot. Everybody had a problem with it. That's not what it says. Why is she well known? She's well known because she's full of good works and alms deeds. All right? Let your life be full of those things. If you want to stand out, then be it for good works, right? Like it says here, by your fruits you shall know them. So let them be the fruits of the heart and the fruits that God would have us to be. So what's the conclusion here? It sounds like I said a lot of different things, but here's what I think the conclusion is. Wally stole my lesson, because really love takes care of all of this, right? Love covers this whole thing. What is this? It says in 1 Corinthians 13, what is it that bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endureth all things, suffers all things? What is it? It's love. And if we have a problem with someone else that's not a scripture problem, they're doing some error in their life, we just have a problem because I don't like what they're doing. I have a hard time with it. You know, there's a top knot on this lady's head, and I have a hard time with that. Or Jeremy won't wear a shirt. I have a hard time with that. Think about it. Love bears. If you love Jeremy, bear with him, right? Hope for him. Hope with him. Endure with him. Suffer with him. Show your love. Love does all these things for each other. And if you're doing all these things and taking care of yourself, the problem will not be a problem, right? Also, I would show something else, which is wear the whole armor of God. In Ephesians 6, 13 through 17, it says, wherefore take you up the whole armor of God, that you might be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. No shirt, no shoes, no faith, no shield, no breastplate, no loincloth, no helmet, no service, right? I mean, here, it's even more. Which one of these will you leave out? Which will you say, well, I don't need that. That's not important. Which one would you leave out? Yet it says, wear the whole armor of God. Remember, other people are looking at you, and they see you. And when you do things, you're like leaving holes. If you do things that look suspicious or difficult, and you cause dissension, it leaves a hole. And people see that. They see like a weakness. And they say, there's something wrong there. There's a dark spot. And to be united in one mind, we need not to have those kind of things. And I want to put in here what the preacher said in the story my dad told me was, he said, which part of your body do you not need? Because if we're all members of one body, which part do we not need? You know, my pinky is very weak. You say, oh, we don't need weak members. You know, some people are very harsh. And I've met some Christians who are very harsh and say, we don't need that member, because that member is just not a very, you know, they only come on Sundays, and they don't do what I expect of a strong member, whatever that means. And they're really weak, and if they fell away, we'd be better off without them. Well, my pinky's pretty weak. It doesn't do a whole lot for me. But you know, it would sure be a bummer if somebody took an axe and cut it off my hand. I suppose I could get by without it, but I wouldn't get by as well. And the point there is that it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you think someone's weak or strong, whatever you think about that other person. The problem is, what part are you? That's what you need to worry about. You need to worry about yourself. And I think what we really need, that's the conclusion here. I think that really falls together with Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Because finally, brethren, it says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, look I'm sorry, think on these things. So, if I spend my time focusing on that top knot, and I worry about that person, I can't believe that person got the top knot on their head. I just can't stand that. It just bothers me. If I spend my time focusing on that, I'm not thinking about these things. And if I've got a top knot on my head because I have a point to prove, I'm not focusing on these things. In fact, I would say that you're violating several of these things. And so, that was a lesson that the preacher gave when my dad was young. It was not the lesson they expected to hear. They expected them to preach up there and say, get that top knot off your head. You know, that's wrong. It's wrong. Here's why it's wrong. But that's not what he said. What he said was, we all need to improve. And we all need to love. We all need to think carefully about these things that are worthwhile to think about, right? And at the end of the day, on Judgment Day, does it really matter if Jeremy came to church without a shirt? Well, it does if it causes someone to stumble and it causes someone to be lost. And so he should think about that carefully. But we also should make sure it doesn't trip us up and be careful as well. And so that was my lesson. No shirt, no shoes, no service. We need to follow the rules because to get to heaven, there are rules. And one of those rules is, as Wally brought this morning, is to love your neighbor. To love God, certainly, but to love your neighbor as you love yourself. And we need to love each other. And if we have true love for each other, then we will be suffering of one another, we'll bear each other's burdens, and we'll put up with a lot, because love does endure an awful lot. And my wife endures an awful lot, putting up with me, yet she stays with me because she loves me. If that's how love is supposed to be, then that's how it should be for all of us as well. And like Wally, I didn't talk a lot about how to become a Christian, but there are rules to get into heaven. And really, they're very simple. You need to believe in God, and you need to obey. And that's really about as hard as it is. And what we obey is that which God has listed out and spelled out in His Word. And that's what we need to do. And if your life is not right with God, because you've let things come in and let love go out the door, you let little things trip you up, if there's a stumbling block in your life and you just say, I can't go to heaven with that person sitting down the other end of the pew for me because that person's just got this top knot on their head and I just can't handle it. Well, make your life right with God and let that take care of itself, because that won't be a problem unless you make it one. And if you have a top knot on your head because there's some point you want to prove, figure out what that point is and talk to the elders. Because if it's an important thing, then something will be done about it. But consider carefully what you're doing, lest you cause another to stumble. So, if you've been prideful or caused trouble for others, or if you need to repent in any way, or if you need to put on Christ through baptism, we have the water ready and this time available to you. So if you would just signify by coming forward as we stand and sing the invitation song.